Good morning. Welcome to Daily Sabbath. We continue with our April theme of environmental justice, and for that reason we do not have bulletins, so I will be guiding you through as we go. Today we welcome David Lim as our speaker. We usually know David because he's playing up in the organ, and we decided to let him speak from the pulpit today before he graduates. So we await David's wisdom, and we're glad that he agreed to speak today. I'd also like to thank our musicians, the Little Quartet on the Prairie here, Diana McKenzie, Emily, and Kaylee. Thank you for being with us today. We will begin by standing and singing our opening hymn, number 524 in your ELW, which is the Red Hymnal. Let us pray. We who have lost our sense and our senses, our touch, our smell, our vision of who we are, we who are frantically forcing and pressing all things without rest for body or spirit, hurting our earth and injuring ourselves, we call for a halt. We want to rest. We need to rest and allow the earth to rest. We need to reflect and to rediscover the mystery that lives in us, that is the ground of every unique expression of life, the source of the fascination that calls all things to communion. We declare a Sabbath, a space of quiet, for simply being and letting be, for recovering the great forgotten truths, and for learning how to live again. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from the 95th Psalm. O come, let us sing to God. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. For God is a great God, and a great ruler above all gods. In God's hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are God's also.
The sea belongs to God, for God made it, and God's hands have formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God, our Maker. For this is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture, and the sheep of God's pasture, and the sheep of God's hand. O that today you would listen to God's voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, or as on the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest. Holy wisdom, holy word.
During the course of my time at Gustavus, three classes have fundamentally influenced my thinking: evolution, ecology, and behavior, introduction to neuroscience, and individual and society. These courses may seem to have little in common, nonetheless they carry a subtle commonality and help explain the Christian tradition. Christian and Jewish worship practices revolve around a central set of pattern practices, the liturgy. People of various traditions and times have upheld such traditions for millennia. Secondary to the act of worshiping God, these liturgical practices are for the people who practice them. The Greek roots of the word liturgy emphasize this communal aspect of this public work. Though the purpose of liturgy is for the worship of God by believers, undeniably the liturgy also serves the people. The human practice of worship serves both divine and earthly. Theologian and scholar Frank Sen notes that divine presence is only possible with recognition of action and worship of those who believe in God. As this raises alarming questions, if she has no worshiper, does God exist? Numerous questions stem from such conjectures, but it must be recognized that humans incur significant loss as well. If their acts of worship cease, humans unilaterally benefit from their liturgical actions. Community takes on different definitions within a context. Biology might consider a community as a group of individuals living in specific geographic or genetic isolation from other populations. Sociology might consider a community as individuals who share common belief. Initially, the latter of these two is more acceptable or more applicable, as it alludes to a more profound idea of community. However, both are important to begin to understand human community. While such ideas surrounding community are commonplace for us, only a few mammals, birds, and fish display caring and nurturing behaviors towards the others of their species, namely offspring care and pair bonding. Recent research finds an association between these behaviors and the hormone oxytocin and its associated receptors. Neurophilosopher Patricia Churchland Smith, one of this year's last Nobel Conference presenters, conjectures that such behaviors, not seen in other species, mark a profound shift in evolution. A wholly new set of behavior arises, providing a unique evolutionary advantage. Ideas of reciprocity, altruism, trust, forgiveness shift the focus from me to we. Individuals give to and receive benefit from each other, creating a social network, the basis for human community. One does not need science to notice and appreciate such interactions. Human yearning for community is an innate drive experienced by all. Certainly before the explanation that science affords, terms such as love, friendship, family all attest to the human desire and need for another. The necessity for genuine relationship when one isolates herself from community is blatantly evident. For example, hermits living in the desert, isolated and seeking refuge from the 3rd century Roman Empire, began to congregate for mutual support. Living in isolation strips one of her humanity and self. We need each other to become ourselves. The church is an obvious place for such interactions to establish and grow. A group of individuals is gathered and united by a single purpose, the worship of God. As today's psalmist writes, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Christian worship from the very beginning of the Christian church has revolved around two things: the reading of scripture and a meal. The gathered community shares in hearing, learning, and interpreting the word, and the sharing of bread and wine. The use of art in the church has also been a vehicle to teach the story. Scripture, stained glass, provide visual depictions of the biblical stories and the champions of the church. Sacred music has given new oral aspects to text and prayer. Music has long served as a vehicle for the common people to participate in worship through the singing of hymns. "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy." The use of melody and rhythm facilitate internalization and remembrance of text. Paul Westermeyer states, quote, "A group who sings together becomes one and remembers its story." Various revisions to church practices and spaces aim to more fully engage the congregation. Martin Luther's biblical translation of the Bible from Latin into his vernacular German allowed the larger community to understand and appreciate scripture. The buildings in which we worship take place respond to communal needs. What is this place where we are meeting? Fourth century worship moved from small private homes into larger basilicas to accommodate the congregation's increasing size during that time. The use of physical space continues to influence how liturgy is shaped. These aspects of text, meal, art, the vernacular, and physical space are all aspects designed and intended for the communal worship of the people. A temporal dimension is also vital in liturgical and communal settings. Objects and ideas do not exist in a single, isolated period of time. The text and music used during worship are rooted in over 2 millennia of history and have been used by countless individuals. Scriptural interpretation by church figures and scholars demonstrates how the Bible has continued to influence thought and practices at personal and societal levels. The same texts take on new meanings through different perspectives. The music of past ages has morphed and been used continually throughout church history. Many of Luther's then contemporary chorales were based on ancient plain chant melodies. The buildings communities have used for worship are perhaps the most visible sign that Christian tradition is reliant on the past. Generations of families have attended services in the same church and sat in the same pews as their great-grandparents. The communities that exist in both our past and present continue to shape the ways in which we worship. We cannot ignore that we are products of the past and must embrace our influence of the future. Liturgical and communal elements present in Christian worship are fundamental in guiding and developing human interactions. The dialogue between humanity and community is vitally important. Humans are social beings, requiring relationship for survival and give rise to natural community. Neurobiology begins to explain the molecular underpinnings that lead to this evolutionary advantage that community affords. However, Relational and communal benefits go far beyond mere survival. They bring meaning and context to life and begin to define humanity. The public act of worship embodied in these liturgical practices effervesce from and reinforce the human need for relationship and community. The liturgy is but one place where we can learn to be, live out, and appreciate being human.
Let us stand and sing together hymn number 358, Great God, Your Love Has Called Us.
Thank you.
for the closing blessing, just one announcement that this evening our organ studio will be giving a concert here in Christ Chapel at 8 p.m., and you are all invited to attend. Receive this blessing. We join with the earth and with each other to bring new life to the land, to restore the waters, to refresh the air. We join with the earth and with each other to renew the forests, to care for the plants, to protect the creatures. We join with the earth and with each other to celebrate the seas, to rejoice in the sunlight, to sing the song of the stars. We join with the earth and with each other to recreate the human community, to promote justice and peace, to remember our children. We join with the earth and with each other. We join together as many and diverse expressions of the one loving mystery for the healing of the earth and the renewal of all life. Amen.